Evening, and welcome to Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Yomi for the 25th of Cheshvan. Baruch Hashem, we've been doing this now for over a month. We are up to Simen Yud Ches. We are up to Sif Gimel. We continue talking about the halachas of Shemoneh Esrei, which is where we're up to for those people who have missed a couple of days and are catching up. That's where we're up to. Sif Gimel. HaMispal Tzarech Sheyeda, a person who is davening, has to be aware Shashchina Kenegdai, that the Shechina is facing him. Your mom is davening in front of Hashem. Very famous Reb Chaim Brisker on this. K'mo Yishar Nemar, as the Pasuk says, Shivchi Chamayim Libech Noichach Pnei Hashem. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of Hashem. V'yorah kavana, you should arouse your concentration. V'yosar kol machshavas hatoydes oisai, and remove from your mind any thoughts that disturb you. Atchetishar machshavta v'kavanosai zaka b'tfilosa, until his thoughts and concentration become clearly focused on davening. V'yachshav, and he should think ki ilu hayu medabel lefnei melech b'asar v'dam, that if he was talking to a king of flesh and blood, bevade hayu mesader dvarav, of course you'd want to organize what you were going to say beforehand. U'mechaven behem yafel lebal yikashal, and you concentrate what you're saying in order not to stumble. Certainly, you're talking to the Eibishter. You have to concentrate on what you're saying, because when you are in front of Hashem, you don't only have to be careful about what you say, you have to be careful about your thoughts, because Hashem sees both of them clearly. And he examines a man's thoughts before davening. You should think of the exaltedness, the elevated level of Hashem, the lowliness of man, and you should remove from his mind any thoughts of pleasure. So again, when a person's davening, he should have clarity that he is davening in front of the Shechina HaKadosha. He should try to remove any thoughts of anything else that he's having right now and focus on this idea of davening to Hashem, who's elevated above. We are very far below, and by doing that, we'll minimize our any appreciation of the pleasures of this world while we're davening. Sif Dalet. HaMitzvah, a person who's davening, Tzarech Shechaven Beliboy, it should concentrate on his heart, Perish HaMilashu Maitzvah Sfosav, on the words that are actually coming out of your mouth. You should think, what am I saying? Shenemer, as it says, Tochin Libom, Takshiv Oznecha. You should direct your heart and let your ear be attentive, meaning you should pay attention to what you're saying. Ukvar nitfusu harbi sidurim perish ashkenaz. In fact, many sidurim, says the Kitzer, were printed with a German or a Yiddish translation. V'yachal kaldim l'omun, and every person can learn what the words mean. Ulahavin mashu mispel, understand what the words say. Yeah, they have the pathway to prayer sitter. They have the arts girl sitter. There's the mitzvah sitter. There are sidurim in English, sidurim in Dutch, and Yiddish, and French, and all the great languages. A person cannot concentrate on what the words mean. He should think, at the very least, while he's davening, with dvarim ha-machneim his lev. He's not actually thinking what the words mean. At the very least, he should be thinking about things which cause him to be humble in front of Hashem, and to direct his heart to his Father in heaven. Meaning, even if chas v'shalom, a person doesn't have the opportunity to know what he's saying, you should be saying to yourself that I'm talking to my Father in heaven. And if a person does have a foreign thought in the middle of davening, yishtek, he should be silent, and wait until that thought goes away. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah says that if a person has a foreign thought in the middle of davening, he should put his hand across his forehead, and he should think, should do that three times, and all foreign thoughts will go away. Interesting. Sif, hey. A person should be careful that his feet should be right next to each other when he daven Shemoneh Esrei, as if there's just one big foot. By doing that, he is copying the malachim. As the pasuk says, regel yishara, and their legs were a straight leg. Claim what that means is, raglayim nirois ki regel echad, their legs could be feel, they should appear as if they're one leg. If we can pause this, if we can pause the audio on someone, the yachayv roishay ma'at lemata, and a person should incline his head slightly downward, the yisker einav, and close his eyes, shalei yistakel b'shom davar, unless you're looking in the sitter. Like he says, v'mispal v'sach ha'sidur, yilei yasser einav v'na sidur. You should have your eyes away from the sitter. V'yaniach yadav alibay, a person should put his hands over his heart, yamina al smal, your right hand over your left hand, v'yispal b'leib shalom, and pray to Hashem with all your heart. Be'emu v'yir v'achna, with awe, with reverence, submission, ke'ani ha'im v'pesach, as a poor person would be standing by the doorway of a very wealthy person. So again, a person is supposed to be standing in front of Hashem with his two feet together, with his right hand over his left hand. You're supposed to be thinking, clarity. I'm davening to Hashem. You should not be looking around. You should be looking either in the sitter or your eyes should be closed. I remember in sixth grade, I remember the Menahel of our yeshiva telling us that. And you should say the words out loud, verbalizing them. You can't just have them in your mind. With concentration and precision. Everyone should daven in their own version based on their minhag. Whether a person davens Nusach Ashkenaz or a person davens what we call Nusach Sfarad, which is similar to Nusach Ari, or we daven Nusach Edot HaMizrach, Kulam Yisudasa Mahari Kurdish. Each one of the Nuschois are founded on very, very high holy mountains, meaning they have tremendous sources for every type of tefillah that we have. Aval Al Ya'ariv, but don't mix in one version of tefillah with another version of tefillah. He called nuscha for every version. It's important to know. Every version of a different nuscha has specific amount of letters, words that are counted and numbered al pislis gdelis based on deep Kabbalah. A person should not add or subtract anything from their tefillah. You should know that the way that your Shemona Esrei is, whether you say Kikil, whatever you say at the end of Atachinen, or you say the end of Atachadash, or you, even, I never even saw this before. Somebody in our yeshiva is of Taimani descent, and he even has a different first bracha of Shemona Esrei. I think instead of saying Melech Ezer Moshiach Morgan, he says Melech Rachum Moshiach Morgan, something like that. But again, every single version of a tefillah that we have is so careful and it's so precise that you can't add anything switching from one nusach to the other. Sif above. A person should be careful to pray quietly. Only he himself should hear what he's saying. But his friend next to him should not hear what he is saying. As it says by Chana, the mother of Shmuel Hanavi, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. There are certain people in history, let's say a person who's very, very hard of hearing, and they daven pretty loudly. I remember a rabbi said about Rav Soloveitchik, that Rav Soloveitchik, he used to be very, very hard of hearing. And he, therefore, the person, one of the people, we hear your audio in the background, if you can be careful about your audio. But he's davening so loudly that the people next to him started saying, Amen. Saying Amen to his brachas because they thought he was saying Chazaras Hashatz. Rav Soloveitchik then said, no, shh. They weren't supposed to answer. Okay, Sif Zion. La yismaych atzmai al shum dover. A person should not lean on anything if he can while saying Shemona Esrei. Afilu smicha kaldu. This includes even a slight support. Note 27, what does that mean, a slight support? He says any leaning at all detracts from the awe with which a person must comport himself, meaning act during Shemona Esrei. However, Mishnah Berurah there does not write that. Okay, fine. So let's continue. So you shouldn't even lean slightly. A person's not feeling well. Then what can he do? He can lean over. He can sit. He can lie down if necessary. As long as he can still concentrate on what he's saying. But if a person is not able to say the words out loud, you should at very least be thinking the thoughts inside of Chas V'Shalom. A person finds himself in a hospital, and his mouth is somehow closed up, and he's not able to daven. But in such a case, the person will be thinking the tefillahs instead of saying them. A person should not hold anything in your hand when you're saying Shemona Esrei, except for a sitter. You shouldn't be holding anything else. When necessary, a person should mark before davening the place in the sitter where you have to move to. You should know beforehand where you're planning on going in your sitter. So you should not have to start turning pages in the middle of Shemona Esrei. For example, on Rosh Chodesh, a lot of people, they take three steps forward and they realize that their sitter's in the wrong place. So they turn 200 pages to be able to find the Shemona Esrei from Musaf on Rosh Chodesh. A person should not be doing that. A person should may have everything prepared before Shemona Esrei. When a person's davening, you should not try not to have anything between himself and the wall. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Vayasiv Chizkiyo Ponev Alakir Vayispel Chizkiyo HaMelech turned and davened towards the wall. And when we say that nothing should be in between you and the wall, it's only referring to something that should gavaya asar tvachim v'rochav arba tvachim, something which is 10 tvachim high and 4 tvachim wide. So that's about somewhere between 31.5 and 37.9 inches. by 12.6 to 15. So let's just say that somewhere between 37 inches and about a little over 2 feet wide. But anything else that's between you and the wall, a table, for example, is not that high. And so therefore, that's not going to be considered a separation. Even if a large thing, like a table, in this case, if it's a permanent fixture and it doesn't move, if you go to iron the table like the Aron Kodesh, or a table, or bookshelves, which are not moving, so that's not considered lechashav hefsek. It's not considered a separation between you and a wall, and you could daven in front of that as well. But adam nami in chaitzis, and additionally, you should know, the person is between you and the wall, that's also not considered a separation, that's not a problem. But if you have no other way to daven, so then a person is allowed to have anything between him and the wall. As long as he keeps his eyes closed, or his eyes in the sitter, his concentration won't be lost. So again, the best thing is to be daven in front of a wall, or in front of something which is fixed, like a bookshelf, or the Aron Kodesh, or another person. Likewise, so as not to disturb his concentration, you should not be facing any picture. If it happened that he was facing a picture, or facing a tapestry, or some sort of decoration, you should close your eyes. And once again, either way, you should be looking into your sitter or closing your eyes. Ukeneged Mara also lispal, and certainly in front of a mirror. He writes in Yiddish, a spiegel, which is a mirror. You certainly should not be davening in front of a mirror. Afilu be'inayim seguras. Even if your eyes are closed, you should not be davening in front of a mirror. I was zeichel once to be by the home of Rav Shmuel Orbach Zatzal, and I saw over there that he was also very careful not to daven in front of a glass window that was causing even a reflection. La yispal b'makim paretz. A person should not daven in an open area. You go in basada, like for example, and davening in the middle of a field. Because when you're davening in a private, enclosed area, the awe of the King Hashem becomes over you when the area is closed in. And your heart is broken and submissive. But if you're traveling, you could daven in the field. But if you can, you spell bin haylonis. At the very least, you should be davening in between trees. One time, I told my children this past Shabbos, because we saw a very interesting shayla in the Sefer V'Harevna from Yitzchak Zilberstein, Chela Gimel, has a very interesting shayla about a person who was stuck in a situation, not able to daven in an enclosed place. I told my children, I was once in Yosemite National Park, and I was with my friends, and there was a place where we need to daven. We saw Mincha was coming, Mincha time was getting to be Shkia, and there's a tremendous area, and we davened in an open field. We did go as close to a tree as possible, but that obviously is not the best. Sif test. A person should not burp nor yawn when he's in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. What is gihuk? Gihuk, I knew. And what is a gihuk? As he said, refers to a burp. When a person occasionally releases some air from his mouth, it goes into real detail. Exhalation from a feeling of satiety, meaning you're full and you release some air from your mouth. And it has a smell of the food that you're eating, which is a burp. Some say a gihuk is not that. Rather, it's where a person stretches out his body and arms due to a feeling of heaviness. So gihuk, some say, is going for a big stretch in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei that's inappropriate. Upihuk, what's pihuk? I knew that when a person opens his jaw wide, like when people want to go to sleep, or just got up, called a yawn, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. The human historic lekach machmas unsafe. A person is not able to control himself. Yaniach yad al pit. Make sure to cover up your mouth. By the way, it's never a bad thing to cover your mouth when you're yawning. Shelo yisrael v'psichasis. That people don't see the opening of your mouth, which would be inappropriate in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Also, you're also not a spit during Shemoneh Esrei. But if phlegm comes into your mouth in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, and it causes him distress to the point that this phlegm is in your mouth, and you're not allowed to get it out of your mouth, so what should you do? Mavliya is interesting. Mavliya b'seich mitpachas oybeged. He should put it into a handkerchief or into a cloth. But if that's disgusting to you, you should lean left and spit behind you. Obviously, make sure no one's there. If you can't spit behind yourself, just spit to the left. If you can't spit to the left, spit to your right. Obviously, it's best to avoid spitting, but if you have to, you have to, and you do it in the best way possible. If a person got bitten, obviously, this is more likely in the olden days where he got bitten by lice, you should shift his clothing in order to get this louse off of him, like this battle of Kavanasa, so that his concentration is not disturbed by it. But you should not pluck it with your hand. Okay, obviously, this has never happened to me, Baruch Hashem, it should never happen to me. I saw a picture of my grandfather, who was a little child. He had his head all shaven. In those days, when people got lice, they went for a 000 haircut. Not 000, but a very low haircut. Im nishmat ha-talis mi'olav. If a person's talis slipped off, yachal ha-achzir, a person could pull it back onto place. I feel enough l'ruba, even if most of it has fallen off. I feel enough l'kula, and even if the entire thing fell off. Einer ishala is ate boy. You can't wrap yourself, mishum to have a hefsik. A person cannot wrap himself because it would be an interruption in his prayer. Okay, so again, I'm sorry. If it fell off most of the body, so then a person should put it back on. But if it totally fell off, you have to leave it there on the floor. The enuffle safer lefun of law. It's if a person's davening, this happens sometimes. A safer falls on the floor in front of you. And you're so disturbed by a safer being on the floor. So then you finish a certain bracha shmonesrei, you can reach over and pick it up. It sounds like you can move over and pick it up. He doesn't say that. I added it. Everything that is asur in shmonesrei, asurim ad la'achash yifsah ha-pasiyas. They're all forbidden until you take your three steps back after regarding interruptions. We're going to learn about different things you can interrupt a certain tefillah, at certain parts of Shmoneh Esrei.